Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we will get updates from Pawnee Mental Health. That'll be a little later on around 9:30 with Robin Cole. Starting things off, though, with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, Associate Professor in the Department of Communication Studies at K-State. He's also the Director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And again, as we have you on here today, there's news happening in the world. And in fact, some kind of breaking news in the world. The Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, that's President Trump's nominee, sounds like, for all intents and purposes, is going to be on the Supreme Court, as we've just learned here moments ago.
Yeah, so the breaking news was this morning that the nomination is going to go, it's going to advance to the full Senate for a vote, despite a protest from the Democrats who are on the judiciary. So as you know, or as listeners probably know, the composition of it is that there's, you know, the majority party has kind of the power, and the minority party has limited options to do anything in any situation, including something like the nomination of a member of the Supreme Court. And the Democrats decided to protest, and the Republicans went ahead forward anyway. So it's one of those moments of, I think, the larger sense of where we are. And frankly, we're going to have to be kind of reckoning with this going forward, regardless of what happens with the general election in just a number of days at this point, less than a couple of weeks, is the sense of what are our norms, right? So part of the rules of the Senate Judiciary is that you have to have at least two members of the minority party to advance any work. And so it sets up a real question of what are our steps going forward? Is it purely power, whether it's in this moment or anything that comes after this? Or are there kind of those expectations of us, especially as our legislators are kind of being charged or expected, asked to engage each other in some more kind of constructive work? So all of that's to say, it looks like it's going to advance to a full Senate vote. I know yesterday there were some comments made by Senate Majority Leader McConnell, who said that they were going to kind of have the debate on the floor over the weekend, setting it up for a vote on Monday, I believe. So it would be a very quick process, and literally at that point just days before the election. So who knows what the implications are as it relates to voter turnout, or you know, kind of the encouragement for people either in support of this, as there are a number of people who are, as well as those who are opposed or strongly opposed, who also exist out there, who have maybe yet to vote.
Well, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to watch the fallout from all of this and what comes next. We've already heard a response from former Vice President Joe Biden, which is interesting because during the debates, he and both Kamala Harris kind of avoided that question about whether or not they're going to pack the courts here going forward. But interesting what he had a statement here just a little bit ago.
Yeah, so he was quoted as saying that what he would like to do if he is to be elected would be set up a bipartisan panel to explore kind of the judiciary. As he said, it's out of whack. I think it poses an interesting question, and it's one that we are maybe we think about more in certain moments, and other times we kind of forget it exists. But part of our kind of constitutional framework is really wrapped up in the idea of a certain set of principles and guidelines, but also those that can be kind of altered and amended through processes that frankly require quite a threshold, right? So the idea of amending the Constitution, for example, requires a majority of the elected body as well as the states for it to kind of actually advance, which is, you know, one of those interesting little reminders. Our last amendment to the Constitution, the 27th, was in fact one of the original 12. So when we talk about the Bill of Rights, 10 of them made it cleanly through the, you know, if you want to say the 11th, eventually got passed as the 27th. And in fact, the very first amendment, not the First Amendment that we think about now, the five freedoms, but the original First Amendment, which actually dealt with the size of Congress, never made it through. It's really close. I would absolutely, it would be fascinating to see if it were to to come through, because it would have meant and would mean now that we'd have about 5,000 legislators. So we'd be meeting in Arrowhead Stadium rather than in Congress. But the question about the court packing, I would note, as someone who is situated in the world of communication and where we think about kind of words and their implications and how it matters, is that that phrasing actually is maybe a bit of a misnomer, right? So in one sense, you might say it's about packing the courts. In another sense, you might, I mean, and this is part of the argument that's being made by some others, even outside of kind of elected office, is that it's a kind of a right sizing, right? So the fact that we have the kind of the Supreme Court composition that we do, at the number that we do, the Constitution doesn't actually say the number, which is why it's been altered in the past. It hasn't been for a long time, right? So we kind of think about that as kind of a traditional structure, that we have 9 Supreme Court justices. Famously, FDR tried to do something along the lines of how we were talking about packing the courts. It didn't advance in large part because of his own party. But the reality is that many other, especially Western democratic countries, have considerably larger equivalents to kind of to the Supreme Court, and to the point to where there's a little bit of a kind of a rotation of sorts that happens, right? So they're not necessarily 9 permanent positions, but they are drawn from kind of the district courts that exist across the country. And so in the United States, when we had the kind of the establishment of the 9 Supreme Courts, Supreme Court justices, it was because we had these kind of 9 jurisdictional districts. Well, now we have 13, right? So one response would be, well, maybe we need to just raise the number to that level. There have been a number of people, and a great report that came out a month ago or so, a bipartisan recommendation from people kind of leading in the field of politics and civic engagement, have made a number of recommendations. And one of them was that, in fact, we should rethink the Supreme Court to where people have 18-year terms, to where they get cycled in and out routinely, so where everybody, every administration would have the opportunity to appoint. It would obviously be influenced by who's in office, right? So it wouldn't be a pure kind of balance of numbers or things like that, but it would give every administration each term the opportunity to appoint, which would really alter it, right? It's a really strange thing that democracy, or American democracy, for example, a big piece of it is literally kind of hanging on the life of an individual. And as we saw with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the implications of having, frankly, a lot of octogenarians and others who are kind of established in life, so to speak, that our kind of democratic structure and our system is in part built on some of that. So it will be all that's to say, it'll be very interesting what kind of comes forward from here. In short, it's a win for President Trump and Republicans who are really kind of charging on this, and for Democrats, I think it poses a question of what happens now. But I think for us collectively, and from the perspective where I sit, is how do we, you know, how do we engage in this not purely as a power play, regardless of kind of who's in that position.
Well, and I would imagine this is going to spur off some. This may hurt or hinder negotiations on other things right now. The Senate and House are trying to work on a possible second stimulus bill, and that's kind of been hanging in the balance here. Do you think that will be affected in any way because of this vote?
Well, I mean, it has been to some extent, right? Who knows if it would have advanced. The president and the House leadership had largely kind of been in kind of more principle in agreement. The Senate was not, and largely said because it would have been potentially influential on the election. At least this is how it's being reported. The other piece, that just from a practical standpoint, there's only so much that can actually happen. I mean, the reason that certain bills occur when they do is that there's a whole kind of process. There's a docket. I know you follow the court cases here in the county and around, and so you know, the way things that show up, you know them in well in advance, right? A certain case is going to be heard on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, for example, in the same way that the Congress kind of has a practicality of moving through the legislative process. Well, the fact that time has been spent in this very focused way in the Senate, for example, on this nominee means other things have not been, right? So who knows exactly if the whole question about kind of a second round of a stimulus bill would have been discussed otherwise. But, you know, it couldn't be because of this happening in some of the ways that it is being kind of pushed through kind of quickly at this moment, that, you know, it replaced other matters. And so, you know, as it goes in front of the full Senate here fairly soon, literally in the next couple of days, it will, you know, again, that will take literally the time away from something else. If that would have been the stimulus, you know, that may be true. It also may not. So, but it does, you know, it's always a question of priorities. It happens in every legislative session. Things will get passed by one house and they can die in the other just simply before it ever comes to a vote. Even if it wants to be kind of raised, if it practically doesn't have space kind of on the agenda, then it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very interesting thing going on in Washington, D.C. to watch right now. And hopefully most people are keeping an eye on that. We're going to take a break, come back with more from Dr. Schaefer on In Focus after this.